Well, hello, Modern Mystics, and welcome to the Metaphysics of Christmas live coaching call. I hope you hear me say this whenever you join me on a call. I hope wherever you are in the world that you're having a great day. I hope that you are feeling the rich and potent energy of winter solstice and Christmas, and it's all starting to sort of permeate yourself. And I hope for those of you who joined me in the Becoming Quantum class that you're having fun practicing with your quantum exercises, and that wherever you are in the world in your mystical practice, that you're having fun playing with it. And just so that I know you guys can hear me, will, if you guys are on the Q&A call, if you could just type into your little Q&A box there that you can hear me all right. That always makes me feel better to know that I'm not talking into the ether and you guys can't hear me. So while we're waiting for folks to join us, if you would just type in the Q&A, yep, I can hear you. That would be great. I'd really appreciate that. So welcome to the Metaphysics of Christmas. This year has been a really powerful, potent, important year for a lot of folks. Yes, you can hear me. Mike says, hi, Simone, I hear you. Hi, Macon, how are you, my dear? Yes, you guys can hear me. Awesome, that's great. Good to know. It's been a really intense year for everyone. I don't think there's a single person that I've talked to that hasn't had a really intense year. Intense in good ways, intense in challenging ways, intense in expanding ways, intense in ways that, stuff in life is falling apart, new stuff is coming in to take its place. It's just kind of been, for a lot of people, a year where energies are really moving fast, that if we're holding on too tight to old structures, old attitudes, old behaviors, old ways of thinking, old ways of doing stuff, that tends to cause a degree of suffering in our lives. It tends to hurt. And that, it especially with the folks who are, who have been working with me for a long time, for people who have done one-on-one coaching with me, for people who have done group coaching, it's what I'm hearing a lot from these people is that layers and layers of old conditioning, old ways of being are slowly but surely being stripped away. And what is really true, what is really real, what is really rooted in higher levels of consciousness, greater levels of peace, greater levels of power, greater levels of creative influence are all starting to reveal themselves. And I want you to really recognize what I just said there. They're starting to reveal themselves. It's not like they're rising to the surface because they've always been there. But as we do our mystical and metaphysical work and we clear away the layers of false identity, the layers of limitation, the layers of lower mind, the layers of limited self, then the true nature of who we really are starts to reveal itself. It starts to bloom. It starts to blossom. It starts to come forward like the sun rising over the horizon. And the truth of it is just like the sun rising over the horizon in the morning at dawn, the sun has always been there. We just, for a certain time, have not been able to see it. But we know inherently within our mind that the sun is always there. It's just at nighttime when it's dark. It's someplace where we can't see it. It exists on the other side of the planet. But when it when it rises, when the sun comes up in the morning, we go, ah, of course, there you are. Hello. Hello, Helios, which is the Greek name for the word sun, Helios. So what is happening for people more and more is the true nature of their divine power is starting to rise. It's starting to be revealed. And again, I want to be sure that it's revealing itself. It is coming into a level of awareness that we are more deliberately able to recognize. And that story of the sun rising over the horizon to remind us of its power, of its life-giving force, of its clarity, of all of its information and the energy that the sun brings to us here in the 3D world. The sun in our 3D reality is the source of life. It is the source of life. If for whatever some bizarre reason the sun was suddenly going to go out, life as we know it would cease to exist here on this planet. So the sun in our 3D reality is the source of life. And the sun is what really plays a very important role in the story of Christmas, the story of the return of life. And it helps us as metaphysicians, as mystics, to really understand what the... Barb says, I can't hear you. Can everybody else hear me? Barb says she can't hear me, but everyone else can still hear me. I want to be really sure y'all can still hear me. Just double check and let me know, guys, that everyone can still hear me. Barb, check your mic. If everyone else can still hear me, then... we want to be sure that we're, Mike and says, I can hear you, but I broke up a little bit. Okay. Just want to be sure my internet connection is okay. Barb, if you're still having difficulty, yes, we can hear me. Sandy, yes, you can hear me. Yes, you can hear me. Barb, try your, try to call in again or try to click in again and see if that helps. So Christmas is a story of light, and it's the story of consciousness. The sun in our 3D reality is the source of life, and again, the name of the sun in Greek is Helios, the Helios. And the story of Jesus is written in the Holy Bible. The Holy Bible, the originating language of the Holy Bible is the words Helios, Biblios, meaning the writings of the sun. The Holy Bible, in its proper language, are the writings of the sun, or the knowledge of the sun, the S-U-N, the S-U-N. And so, everyone says, I can hear you loud and clear. Okay, great. So, Christina says that you broke up a little, now you're okay. Okay, hopefully it was just us getting clicked onto the internet. So, the story of Christmas, the story of Jesus, being born at a certain time of year that's contained in the Holy Bible is actually what it means for us as metaphysicians, what it means for us as mystics, is this is a story of consciousness that is written in the writings of the sun, S-U-N. And so as mystics, as metaphysicians, we understand that the sun in our 3D reality is a vehicle of consciousness. It is the consciousness that brings life and light to our planet. It is the source of power here in the 3D world. It is a representation of exalted consciousness. And so any of the stories that we might come across or peruse or be exposed to in the Holy Bible, as mystics, we are well served to read those stories from the position of them being a story of consciousness, the Helios Biblios, the writings of the sun. Now, when we look at the Bible, it can be interpreted in many different ways. It can be interpreted very literally. It can be interpreted a little more symbolically. And then where all the power lies is if it's read and recognized as a story of consciousness, a story of divine consciousness, that we have to be able to, if we're going to gather the wisdom of the sun, the Helios Biblios, from those stories, we are really well served to read them metaphysically, to read them mystically, to look at them as stories of consciousness and little bitty signposts, little bitty breadcrumbs that we, if when we get curious about them, when we become fascinated by what lies deeper underneath the surface appearance of those stories, that's where the true richness of these, of all of the stories in the Bible. It doesn't even matter if it's Jesus. It can be Sodom and Gomorrah. It can be Cain and Abel. It can be all of that. All of those things are stories of consciousness that we as metaphysicians, we as mystics, are invited to look deep, deep, deep into the meta, going really, really deep into anything is called going meta. And so when we are practicing or playing with the idea of metaphysics, we are going deep into the originating constructs of physics beyond just what we see, sense, and experience in the physical 3D world, but deep into the physics of consciousness itself. So as metaphysicians, as mystics, we look at the meta carried within any of the stories of the Bible. And we're also curious about how they show up for us in the 3D world, especially as they relate to and are intertwined with our relationship with the sun. Again, Holy Bible, Helios Biblios, the story, the writings of the sun. So those books, those stories at their meta level are stories of consciousness. And those stories of consciousness revolve around the singular figure of life and consciousness in our 3D world. So this is how we start to put these sorts of things together. Okay. So what we're going to do in this metaphysics of Christmas is we're going to go into the meta. We're going to go deep, deep under some of the metaphysical symbolism, some of the metaphysical stories the metaphysical symbols and ideas in the story of Christmas. There are tons. I could teach a whole, weekend workshop on the metaphysics of Christmas because there's so many symbols there. But what I really wanted to focus on for the purpose of this call today are some of the metaphysics and the metaphysical symbols that are carried in the Christmas story, just a few of them, and how the story of Jesus, the birth of Jesus at this time of year, winter solstice into Christmas, is an invitation, is a reminder, is a tap on the shoulder of consciousness saying, hey, kid, psst, hey, wake up. Remember, this is you. This is your story. This is the story of the sun. This is the story of your divine nature. This isn't just about Christmas trees and stocking stuffers and after Christmas Boxing Day sales. There's a bigger, deeper, broader, vaster, way more powerful story that you need to wake up to. And we're going to talk about the gifts of the Magi, the three wise men as well, so that you can start to understand the meta, the deep, deep, deep underneathing of this time of year and take advantage of it. Okay. So this time of year, as the sun is doing interesting things, as it's in the northern hemisphere, as the days and days and days are getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and in the southern hemisphere, there the sun is also doing its own thing. And listen, at the meta level, again, meta level, metaphysics, at the meta level, the northern hemisphere, the southern hemisphere doesn't matter. In the spiritual realm of consciousness, at the metaphysical level of consciousness, hemispheres don't exist. Anything in the physical 3D reality doesn't exist. So if we're playing with metaphysical levels of consciousness, we're not so much worried about what the sun is doing in our dynamic, because again, we know that regardless of where we live on the planet, the sun is always there. Consciousness, the life force, the life giver in our three-dimensional reality, the father, if you will, in this 3D reality is always there. Doesn't matter whether we can see it or not. So when we're playing with this potent time of year in the 3D, the time of Christmas, as it is expressed in the Helios Biblios, the story of Jesus, the baby, we're using this potent time of year in the 3D as a tool, as a signpost, as a memory activator, as an opportunity for contemplation, as an opportunity to investigate, and as an opportunity to inquire about what the metaphysics, what the deeper story of Christmas means for us. And so it invites us as metaphysicians, it invites us as mystics to focus on a certain idea, to focus on a certain principle of consciousness. And a principle, just to remind you, is a law. It's a rule. 2 + 2 = 4. That's a principle. You throw a ball up into the air and it's going to drop down. That's gravity. Gravity is a principle. It's a law. It's a rule. It's not personal. So Christmas invites us to investigate and be curious about and meditate on and be fascinated by a principle of consciousness that is carried deep in the story of Christmas. And you may have heard me say this, and this is one of my mottos in life, that we become what fascinates us. We become what fascinates us. So if we become fascinated and curious about the deeper level of the meaning of Christmas, what its true metaphysical meanings are, if we become what fascinates us, then as we become curious about these ideas, these ideas that are carried deep in these stories are going to be revealed to us. They are going to become awakened in us, and we will start to remember through these divine stories our own divine nature. And as we start to remember that, as we become fascinated with the story, and we become what fascinates us, then as we start to focus on the ideas that are carried in the metaphysics of the story, then within ourselves, we start to unlock, and spiritual gifts that are a part of this story start to come online. And so the true meaning of gifts being given at Christmas isn't so much about the gifts that we give to one another or that we receive from one another. That's a part of it on the 3D. Absolutely, that generates a flow of energy for sure. But the true meaning of Christmas are the spiritual gifts that are unlocked within us when we recognize our own divine story in the story of the birth of Jesus and the baby Jesus. Okay. So, you know, you always hear people out there saying, oh, the true meaning of Christmas is giving. The true meaning of Christmas is not about receiving, it's about giving. Well, that's not even accurate. The true meaning of Christmas is that when we remember that this is our personal story, not about some little baby who was born 2,000 years ago that has nothing to do with us, but this is our personal story, and that this remembering, metaphysical reminder is there to help us unlock our individual personal spiritual gifts. That's the true meaning of Christmas. Okay. And so we get to, as we dive deep into the metaphysics, we unlock, we remember, we activate our spiritual gifts that come as a byproduct of our remembering that we are divine. Okay. So metaphysics means deep underlying physics of how something operates. And the underlying energy of the season that we can use to advance our spiritual and mystical practice and exalt our divine identity, where we get to move from the limited energetic consciousness that is known as the Son of Man, the people who wander around and think that the 3D skin suit is all there is, and who they see in the mirror, that's all they get, and then they live their 80 years on the planet and they unzip their skin suit and that's it, versus the exalted identity of the Son of God, the divine child, the inheritor of the divine consciousness of the divine creative mind. And you can call that mind, you can call that mind God, you can call that mind the universe, you can call that mind nature, you can call that mind the quantum, it doesn't matter. But in this scenario where we are playing now, is the memory of that divine mind of which we are a spark, in this scenario, in this story, is called the Christ, the Christed mind, which is why it's called the Christmas, Christmas. So let's talk about what is the Christ. Christmas, what are we celebrating here? Is it about a little baby born in a manger? No, it's about something bigger. And so the metaphysical idea of the Christ, the Christ is the divine man, the Son, the perfected idea of the creative force in a skin suit. Christ is the perfect idea of the creative force. Christ is the principle, the law, the rule of the mind of God in the flesh. And the quantum mind is infinite, timeless, constantly expressing outward, is constantly expanding, constantly giving. It is evolving. It is infinitely abundant. It is infinitely prosperous. It has never been born, will never die. It is life force itself. So the Christ is that idea of the creative force. It is the principle of the mind of God, the mind of the quantum, the mind of the divine in the flesh. Okay? So that's the Christ. Jesus is the name of the individual, excuse me, who expressed that level of perfection. Hold on, guys. Sorry about that. Jesus is a dude. Christ is the energy. So Jesus is the name of the guy who expressed this level of perfection and consciousness. Right. The Christ nature existed long before Jesus ever showed up, exists still continuously now, long after Jesus is gone. In the Holy Bible, in the Helios Biblios, it is said that the Christ nature is the I am. I am that I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Before Jesus even was, I am. The Christ nature, this is the timeless, ageless, never been born, never died consciousness that we are all invited to investigate. So Christ is a thing, a level of consciousness that exists long before Jesus came, long before Jesus went, before everything and everyone. Jesus is the dude who embodied it. Okay? You know, it's not called Jesus Mass, it's called Christmas. So the Christ exists in each person, in each one of us, as a potential of perfection. It's a potential that, again, that over time is revealed, this perfection of consciousness with no conditioning, no limitation, no forgetfulness, no falseness, no error, no conditioning, no limitation. Is the Christmas, the Christ, invites that to be revealed, this potential of perfection. And again, in the Holy Bible, the Helios Biblios, it says, again, the story of the sun, S-U-N, the story of consciousness, says, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, which means you are already that. Be ye perfect. You are already perfect. You just need to remember it. And so what Christmas does is it helps us to become conscious of this level of mind, this perfected, Christed, divine, quantum, godlike level of mind within us. Christmas invites us to remember that and to invite that level of consciousness to be born within us, to be awakened within us. So Christmas is Jesus being born. Okay. So the Christmas season invites us to remember and to be curious about this level of consciousness being awakened, being born again within us. And when this remembering happens, and the word remember, to remember a thing means to put something back together. To put it back together is what it means to remember. To remember a thing, put something back together. We as human beings here on the planet, sons of man, we have forgotten. And because we've forgotten, we are dismembered. We've forgotten our divine nature. We believe that the 3D world is all that has any power. We believe that the true meaning of Christmas is giving a bunch of presents to people we don't know. There's all of this dismembering. And when we are dismembered, we don't have access to our true, authentic, mystical, metaphysical, magical, creative superpowers. So the story of Christmas helps us remember. It whispers in our ear. And it says, look at this little baby in the manger. That's not some guy who existed 2,000 years ago. That's you. What are you going to do about this? How are you going to make this little creature welcome? Right? And so when this remembering happens, when we start to remember, when we start to put ourselves back together, when this remembering happens, when it becomes consistent within us, then the birth of the Christ happens. A beginning happens in our inner realms of consciousness. And as a result of that birth within ourselves, the birth of the inner Christ, when that happens in our inner realms of consciousness, then what happens is a more evolved, a more higher set of spiritual gifts, of spiritual faculties start to come online. Greater levels of intuition, greater levels of clarity, greater levels of power, greater levels of abundance, greater levels of love, greater levels of connection, greater levels of kindness, greater levels of you name it. So as that birth of the inner Christ happens, our spiritual gifts start to come online. And when those spiritual gifts grow, when they come to full stature, when they settle into their full level of power, that's when we become enlightened. That's when we awaken completely to remember who we truly are. We move beyond ignorance. We move beyond forgetfulness of who we really are. We move beyond the dismembering of our belief that we are just impotent little bags of skin and guts flitting around here on the 3D world for 80 years and then we're done. Okay. So many of us who sort of step onto the metaphysical or into the mystical practice, our spiritual gifts they may have been there for a long time. You know, we may have grown up with them and they've been there, or maybe they're coming online in a meaningful way. But when we start to embrace the metaphysics of Christmas, that's when our spiritual gifts really come online. Really come online, because there's lots of people on the planet who have intuition and who are, you know, psychically gifted and maybe even have the gift of healing and all that other stuff. And that's fine. That was sort of hardwired into them growing up. But when they remember and claim and invite this renewing, this new beginning, this rebirth of the Christed nature within them, that's when your spiritual gifts really come online. Okay. So every true mystic, every true metaphysician worth his salt that understands the metaphysics of the sun is invites and makes welcome the Christ mind to be born within them, to be reformed, to be remembered, to be born again within them. And welcoming the baby Jesus is the reminder that baby Jesus, just like the man Jesus, his spiritual gifts grew over time. He got stronger in power over time. You know, he wasn't just simply born and then raised the dead while he was laying there in the manger. He got stronger and more conscious over time, to the point that ultimately, when he was crucified, he was able to overcome death because he remembered his true divine nature. Okay, so as we take advantage of this metaphysical time, we use this season to make welcome our own Christed mind, just like you would make welcome a baby, right? So each of us has the Christ mind within us, just as Jesus did. And when this identity grows, as we make it welcome, as we focus on it, as we remember it daily, as we become fascinated with it, as we engage with it, as we tend to it, as we nurture it, it moves from an infant in a manger to a full-grown embodiment. And that's when we would say that a person, when you move into that full-grown embodiment, that's when we would say a person is Christed or a person is enlightened. Okay. So the Christ consciousness is ever-present. It exists in all things here and now. It doesn't exist at some other dimension. It doesn't exist at some other higher vibration. It is here right now. And that is why the symbolic message of the baby being born in a manger, in the most basic level of 3D expression, right? Not born in an inn, not born in a castle, not born levitating above some higher other dimension, but born in a manger here. In the element of earth, there amongst the animals, that symbolism of the baby Jesus being born in a stable and being placed in a manger is the symbolism to say the Christed nature is right here. Look where the animals are. They're not at some other dimension. They're not in some other fancy place. They're right here, at the most basic, earthbound, pure level of being. Okay. And when we remember that it's ever present and exists in all things here and now in this earthly realm, that stimulates a remembering of our levels of mind. It stimulates our subconscious mind. It stimulates our conscious mind to remember. And we go, oh yeah, it's right here. It's right here. It's right here. I don't have to go anywhere, do anything to earn it. I don't have to leave my body. I don't have to vibrate high. It's right here now. And as we remember that, we start to become one with it. We start to align with it. And the more we align with that level of energy, the more we have access to its power, to its gifts. Right? And Jesus was a man of Nazareth. And the meaning of Nazareth, the word Nazareth, the metaphysical meaning of Nazareth is, it means a branch, it means an offshoot or a sprout, like a vine coming off of a plant. And so the symbolic meaning of this metaphysical word is that when we awaken, when we remember, when we allow the Christ to be born in us, that our Christ consciousness, the divine manifestations of creative power, then we become, those things start to grow. They start to sprout within us. Okay. And it, and we start to become receptive. We start to be able to receive those gifts. And all of those gifts are made available to us. So we see that there's all of these metaphysical layers and definitions of Jesus, the Christ, the manger, Bethlehem, Nazareth. So Nazareth means branch or offshoot. So the vine, the growth of the Christed nature. And metaphysically, Jesus, as the physical representation of man, he's the son of man. As he grew in power, as his vine, as the offshoot, as the sprout of his consciousness started to grow, he became vibrantly aware in consciousness of the character of the divine creative power. It's abundance, it's timelessness, it's prosperity, it's grace, it's growth, it's expansion, it's timelessness, it's agelessness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? As the Christ consciousness grew and sprouted, Jesus became really, really aware of it and his relationship to it. He understood that as his Christed consciousness grew, Jesus, the guy, the Son of Man, became quantum. He became unlimited. He became ever-present, abundant life. And he started to understand that this relationship between his skin suit, Jesus the guy, and the Christed nature meant that he had access to unlimited, ever-present, abundant wisdom, abundant supply, and abundant life. And so the story of the three wise men, who arrive, they show up and they supply divine gifts. The three wise men in the story of Jesus in the manger, they would be considered metaphysicians. They would be considered mystics. They would be considered occult figures. Essentially what they are is they are consciousness that arrives to supply the divine gift. These three wise men travel far from far, far away, and they are ever, ever willing to supply every need to the Christed baby. And so Jesus had access to every blessing, every level of abundance, every level of wisdom, every level of love and help of the quantum father, the quantum mind. So again, the symbolism of the three wise men is that when Jesus is a baby, these gifts are automatically given to him. Automatically. He didn't have to earn them. He didn't have to get good grades in school. These gifts just showed up as a result of the birth of the Christed consciousness. When the Christed consciousness is birthed, these gifts show up. You don't have to earn them. They just appear. And these gifts, as I say, are wisdom, love, abundance, help from the quantum mind, access to every possible blessing. And as Jesus got older, he didn't believe this to be true. There was no belief in this scenario whatsoever. He knew it to be true. And for those of you guys who have studied with me before, you've coached with me before, I say to you, this is not, when we work metaphysically, when we work in the quantum, when we work mystically, there is, belief has nothing to do with it. It is a knowing. And when you know something to be true, that is vastly different and vastly more powerful than just believing it's true or hoping it's true. When the Christed consciousness starts to take root, and remember going back to the idea of the Nazareth, the branch, the offshoot, the sprout, when the Christed consciousness starts to take root within us and the sprouts, the vines start to tendril and weave through our consciousness and through our body and through our mind and through our doing and through our acting, that becomes a knowing. We feel it. We sense it. We know it to be true. So when the Christed consciousness becomes mature within us, we move from hoping, we move from having other people asking other people to pray for us, and we just say, no, I don't need that from other people because I know I have access to it for myself. Why would I need to go to somebody else? Why would I need to ask somebody else for their blessing? Why would I need to ask a priest for their blessing? Why, when I have direct access, when I am it, when every resource, every gift, every blessing, every opportunity, every level of abundance, every gift possible exists within me right now? That's a knowing. And over time, that knowing becomes stronger and stronger and more rooted and becomes more and more mature. Just like an oak tree becoming mature, moving from an acorn to a sapling, into a little tree that's a little wimpy, into ultimately becoming this big oak. And because as our Christed nature becomes strong like that, just like Jesus in his mature identity, he knew it to be true. He knew he was Christed. He knew he was a part of that level of consciousness. And so his words and his thoughts were powerful, living thought forms, which carried conviction that produced immediate results. The word became flesh. So it is spoken, so it is done. Right? And as mystics, as metaphysicians who work within that framework, that becomes our knowing. But it doesn't happen instantly. It doesn't happen automatically. That's why the gift of Christmas is so important, because we want to be able to welcome, and listen, we can welcome this Christed nature in us at any time. Again, it's available always, 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 not just at Christmas, but Christmas reminds us to welcome it. Christmas reminds us to invite it forward. Christmas reminds us to nurture it and claim it. Okay. But so when this mature Christed identity becomes a part of, becomes who we are, not even a part of who we are, but becomes who we are, then that's when immediate results happen. There's so much power and so much energy in our thought, because we know we are divine, that instant manifestation becomes possible. Quantum miracles become possible. The word becomes flesh. Thought becomes stuff. Energy becomes matter. Miracles happen. Metaphysics happen. But if you're out there willy-nillying trying to attract stuff to you because you believe you lack a thing, as opposed to knowing you are already that thing, whether it's abundance or creativity or love or power or health or well-being, whatever it is, if you're out there in the world trying to attract it, it's not going to work. But if you claim this Christed identity within you and you invite that baby to grow so that its gifts can be revealed to you, then that's how you start to become a really powerful kick-ass metaphysician. So the baby Jesus in the Christmas story, it represents the new version of this Christed mind being born in us. The baby Jesus represents the new version of this mind being born in us that we make welcome. And if you've already been working on this Christed identity, then Christmas reminds you to amplify it, to remember it even more, to celebrate it even more, to make it even more welcome, to claim it even more, to claim the nourishment that level of mind, the Christ, offers you. And the baby Jesus, the Christ, was born in Bethlehem in a manger. And Bethlehem means the house of bread, and a manger is a place of food. So this Christed mind indicates nourishment. It indicates food. It indicates sustenance. It indicates substance. And so the more we welcome the Christ consciousness within ourselves, the more we are nourished by it, the more it feeds us, the more it provides for us, the more it gives us abundance, the more it gives us prosperity. Okay. So the symbolism, not only of where the Christ was born, Bethlehem, the house of bread, but the manger as a place of food, indicates the very nature of the Christed consciousness being our sustenance. And we can be nourished by it, supported by it, vivified by it, which means to add life force. So the questions that I want to ask you are, how do you make something welcome in your life? How, and in the story of the baby Jesus, how do the three wise men honor the baby Jesus? How would you honor and make welcome a new life? And these strategies that I want you to, that question is unique to you. How would you make something welcome? How do the three wise men honor the baby Jesus? How would you honor a new life? One of the ways to do it is, you know, the three wise men brought gifts. The three wise men made an offering to the baby. The three wise men, you know, they traveled a long way to honor and respect and make welcome the baby. So as a part of your Christmas practice, you know, when we're out there buying gifts to give to other people, is there something that you could do? Is there something that you could create? Is there something that you could offer to your own inner Christ? It might be planting a tree. It might be planting a rose. It might be making a donation to a particular charity in honor of your Christed, your Christed identity, to be able to honor and welcome that level of identity. You could set up a little altar for it, and through winter solstice, through Christmas, you could, there's many metaphysical stores where you can buy a candle that will burn for 7 days or 3 days, it depends. You could light a candle as a gift, as a welcoming, as an honoring of that Christed nature to awaken within you. It becomes something that is deliberate and intentional and conscious as a ritual for you to combine the conscious mind with your subconscious mind and the superconscious mind to say, I set time aside in this moment for you, and I make you welcome, and I call you forward, and I say, hello, divine Christed nature within me. I see you, I know you, I hear you, I make you welcome so that you may grow and expand within me like the vine that is Nazareth within me. So, and this becomes something that is personal and unique, and you can do it in whatever way you want to do it. And it's fun to be able to do it between winter solstice, December 21st, where the sun, the light, again, this is the Helios Biblios. This is the story of the consciousness of the sun, that the consciousness dies. The sun appears to go below the horizon. It's always there. 3 days between solstice and Christmas. 3 days later, it comes back up. It is born again. The consciousness rises. The consciousness is born again. So what you could do between winter solstice and Christmas is you could set time aside each day. Doesn't have to be a lot of time. Each day during those 3 days to just set aside some time, light a candle, and make the Christed consciousness within you welcome. Welcome. And whatever way has meaning for you. But it's lovely to have symbolism. It's lovely to do something that has light around it, like lighting a candle. It's lovely to do something that has life around it, like planting a seed or making a donation to a charity that supports something that has meaning to you, you know, animal welfare or, you know, children or whatever. And doing it to honor that Christed light. Okay. And what that is in that moment, when you are doing that, when you are honoring the birth of this Christed identity in you, you are becoming the three wise men. The three wise men, the mystic, the magi, they bring gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh to the Christ. And there's a few symbolic meanings here. Gold is the ultimate, most noble metal. It's pure. It's beyond conditioning. Gold doesn't rust. It doesn't fade. This is why they're, you know, you go and you dig up 10,000-year-old Incan tombs and there's gold and it's just perfect. Frankincense and myrrh. Frankincense, those are both herbs and considered ointments. Frankincense is a positive or masculine herb. Myrrh is a negative or feminine herb. And both of these herbs represented healing and beauty and purification. So again, these are offerings that were made. These are noble offerings. These are precious offerings that are made to honor the birth of the Christ. And gold in this case also represents the richness and the abundance of spirit. Right? Gold in the physical 3D world is a representation of prosperity and wealth and power and abundance. So, you know, you might want to, again, this is why it can be good to place a coin on your altar, a coin on your ceremony, or to be able to give money forward in honor of the Christ. So gold represents the richness of spirit. Frankincense represents the beauty of spirit, the purity of spirit. And myrrh represents the eternity of spirit, right, given to the baby in the manger. And so when we make offerings, when we give gifts to the Christed identity, and again, I want you to really grab this. You're not giving it to something outside of yourself. You are taking action in the 3D world to honor something inside yourself. And what you are doing in that moment, when you are taking action in the 3D world, you are linking heaven and earth. You are linking the non-physical to the physical. Again, this is why Jesus was born in a manger, because in a barn, because that is the representation of earth. It's spirit rooting itself into the earth. And so how do we integrate matter and spirit? By taking action in the 3D world that honors spirit. Okay. So make gifts, make offering to your own Christed nature along the idea of the richness, the beauty, the purity, and the eternity of spirit. And as you do that, as you honor your own Christed nature, the invitation, the welcoming, the gifts that you present to your own Christed nature, that's going to start to grow. And when wise thoughts, again, this takes us back to the idea of the wise men. The wise men were wise because they had wise thoughts, and their thoughts were rooted in beauty and truth and goodness and richness and love and abundance. And so as you start to generate your internal wise man or wise woman, whatever the case may be, and you present those gifts and those thoughts, you offer them to your inner nature, then those gifts start to expand. Again, like the vine, they grow. They start to grow within you. They start to take root. And then these resources of truth and beauty and love and richness and goodness and kindness and prosperity and power, those resources, those gifts are made available to you, to your Christed child, to your Christed identity. Right? So the symbolism carried in the metaphysical story of Christmas is that it is a reminder that the Christed baby, the baby Jesus, is us. And we, just like Jesus, are born here in the 3D world. And we, our goal as mystics, our goal as metaphysicians, is to remember our Christed nature. And the way that we do that is by occupying the position as well as of our own version of the three wise men, who recognized, the three wise men recognized the power carried within the baby. That's why they brought him gifts. That they were very wise men. They were trained mystics. They were trained metaphysicians. They understood. They said, aha, I see my own Christed identity, and I'm going to bring gifts to it. I'm going to honor it and revere it and respect it and make it feel loved and welcomed and cherished. And I'm going to nurture it every day. And I'm going to say hello to it every day. And I'm going to tend to it every day. I'm going to make sure that it knows that I see it and that I know that it is there, so that it can then grow in me. And as it grows in me, then all of the gifts, that all of the inheritances that that divine consciousness has and possesses will start to manifest. And that's how we become Christed. So it doesn't matter if your name is Bob or Susan or Bill or Joanna or Craig or Macon or Simone, that's our skin suit, but we are all the Christed nature. And it's our job as sons of man, our physical 3D skin suit, to remember that our true divine nature as sons of God is what we are invited to remember here at Christmas. And so that's what the story reflects. So as you're, you know, as you're pondering and wandering around, buying gifts for people, take some time out of all of that crazy hubbub to go out into nature and find a feather or find a stone, find a little gem or a little crystal. It doesn't have to be a big thing. And collect it so that you can make it a Christmas offering to your own divine Christed child. And while you're out celebrating and you see people lighting candles, remember as well that the light, the metaphysical symbol of the lights at Christmas, is to remind us that the Christed light, the story of the sun, has returned and is made available to us if we remember and we know how to look. So every time I walk by a string of Christmas lights, I go, ha-ha, there's the Christ all over the place right there, and that's me. I see you, Christmas lights. Thank you for the reminder. Thank you. Right? So it becomes, Christmas becomes a vastly different experience for somebody who is rooted in the metaphysics and the mysticism of it all. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send each of you a download of a guided meditation that I've put together called Claiming Your Spiritual Gifts. I will be sending that to you separately because there's not enough time to go through it on the call, but I will be sending that to you separately. For those of you who are a part of the Becoming Quantum class, I will post that in the Becoming Quantum classroom. It should be posted for you by tomorrow. And for those of you who aren't a part of the class who registered separately, I will be sending you, I'll send you a link so that you can download that guided meditation and use it as you wish. So, you know, listen to this call again and go in and review and listen to some of the symbolism. And again, we only touched on part of the symbolism. We didn't touch on the star, and we didn't touch on Herod. You know, Herod was the king who sent the three wise men. No, who sent Jesus and Mary and Joseph out of town for a census. So there's all of this other symbolism. That's the Herod is rooted in the limited consciousness of the ego, and the star is rooted in following the vision of your Christed nature that calls you and lures you forward and guides you to remember who you are. So there's all sorts of other metaphysical symbolism involved in it. But I thought that these ideas were the most easy to relate to and the most poignant and the most easily connected with. So listen to it again, take all of this into consideration. And now if you have questions, now is the chance for you to type in some questions if you have some. If you need further clarity, and again, I'll be providing the guided meditation for you. Again, if you're in the Becoming Quantum class, it'll show up in the classroom. And if you're not, I will be sending you a link to it probably first thing tomorrow morning. But if you have questions, now is your time to ask them. And as you start to understand the metaphysics of this and the symbolism that's carried in the story, and you're out there, yes, Christina, will this call be downloadable for those of us in Becoming Quantum? Yes, I will post this call in the classroom as well. So you will, in the Becoming Quantum classroom, you see there's the Becoming Christed bonus. You'll see that at the bottom of the Becoming Quantum page, and this will be posted underneath that. So you'll be able to download this for you as well. Thank you in advance, Simone, for your gift of the guided meditation. Lovely. Yeah. You're welcome. My great pleasure. So again, what this does is in this time when the global collective consciousness is all focused in some way or another on this time of year, whether you're a pagan who celebrates the winter solstice, whether you're Jewish who celebrates Hanukkah, whether you're a Christian who celebrates Christmas, whether you're African who celebrates Kwanzaa, there is a time of year right now that is celebrated on, that is focused on celebrating light. And so it doesn't matter what religion you're in. The collective is influenced in some way, shape, or form by this time of year. And so what this time of year invites us as metaphysicians and mystics to do is to pay attention to that, to go, aha, it's no accident that the collective is focused in this way. So there's a supporting energy in the 3D for me to be able to do it. But what if I were be able, as metaphysicians and mystics, what if I could go meta? What if I could go deeper and further and more juicy into what's really going on here? So that I could take advantage of the symbolism of the sun dropping below the horizon in the northern hemisphere and staying underground for 3 days, appearing to die, and then being born again. Being rising on Christmas Day. How can I advance and accelerate that meta? How can I go meta on that? So while you're out Christmas shopping, while you're celebrating with family, while you're listening to all of the Christmas carols and you're out and about and you see the Christmas lights in your community and all of that, really become curious about it. And again, when we become what fascinates us, and as a mystic, our number one most important tool is curiosity. And we say, all right. For so many years, I've been floating on the surface of this story. And maybe even I poo-pooed it. Or maybe, you know, I understood that there's a little bit more to it than that. But what if I went meta? What if I thought this story about the birth of Jesus and the authentic metaphysics of it was a story meant especially for me? How could I use that? How could I amplify that? How could I find more power in that? How is this story for me? Because here's the reality of it, is that consciousness is constantly trying to get our attention. The Christed mind, the quantum mind, the divine mind is constantly trying to catch our attention, whether it's through metaphysical practice, whether it's through stories in the Bible, whether it's through movies, whether it's through songs we hear on the radio, whether it's through a word we overhear in somebody's conversation. It's always trying to catch our attention. And at Christmas, we are invited to become hyper-focused. At Christmas, we say, you know what? Consciousness, you know what, quantum mind, you've got my attention. I am giving you 1,000% of my attention, and I am calling you forward. I'm inviting you up. I'm welcoming the birth of you in my life. I'm calling you home. I'm calling you to be alive in me. And we've got this beautiful time of year to do it. And all of the ritual and all of the beauty and all of the preciousness that's involved in it, if you can make that sacred for your own inner gifts of the Christ, then when you turn the corner for next year, holy moly, your relationship with Christmas will never be the same again. Michelle says, hi, Simone. Amazing the connections from the frequent songs of Rufus del Sol, Rufus of the Sun, and the last 3 months of whistling the tune of We Three Kings. We Three Kings, Michelle's, she says, my last name and renewed relationship with gold. And the list goes on. Ha, ha, ha. What an honor to be on this call. And thank you again for the divine reminder. I appreciate you, Michelle. Michelle's last name is King. We Three Kings. Right? The kings who recognize the gifts of the Christ. So I'm glad, Michelle, that you're, and she's a fan of a performer called Rufus del Sol. Rufus of the Sun. I want you guys to pay attention to where you hear and see and notice symbols that have crowns in them, or like images of crowns, or pictures of gold, or images of the sun. You notice on my Modern Mystics website that my symbol is the sun. That is not done without a huge amount of knowing why it's there, right? So start to pay attention as you start to recognize and invite forward this Christ in nature, this identity in yourself. Those symbols are going to start to show up, constantly reminding you, going, hey, kid, hey, kid, hey, kid, you got me? You paying attention? You got me? You paying attention? Right. Christina. Hi, my dear.
I really want to thank you for doing this. I kind of went in and out a little, but was taking copious notes. And, you know, you said something that I'd never heard articulated, but you said several things. One of them was the Helios Biblios. But the second thing that really, really struck me deeply, and that I'm hoping you can speak a little more on, the 20, like the 21st being the solstice, and then the sun going below the horizon and then resurfacing 3 days later on the Christ Mass, and it going below the sun, and that as a rebirth period, because I've never heard anybody address that.
It just seems so obvious to me. It just seems so obvious, right? So the again, sort of that those 3 days between solstice, December 21st, when the and the sun settling down in the northern hemisphere, for us that becomes a it represents a few things. It represents forgetfulness. It's like, okay, there's the time where I forgot who I was, where I believed that consciousness and the divine power, I didn't have access to it. And then, boop, it pops up again. Life is reborn. And it's fascinating because, in mystical or metaphysical practice, the number three is evident all over the place. Essentially, what it offers us is it offers us a time of nurturing. It also almost becomes a womb, where on the day of the 21st, where the sun dips below the horizon and it appears to disappear, then there's 3 days of darkness. Just think of it, the womb of Mary, if you will, is dark. The womb of any woman or any creature that gives birth to a baby, the womb is very dark. There is no light in a womb. And then you think of when Jesus is crucified, he is buried in a tomb, which is dark, and he's also in there for 3 days. What those moments of darkness provide for us is an opportunity of reconstitution. It allows us to nurture and nourish and prepare and make welcome for the birth of this thing that is new, that has been revivified. To revivify means to bring something back to life. And so the light, the sun drops below the horizon. It languishes there in the dark. We just can't see it. It's still there. The life is still there, but it gives us an opportunity to really sort of suck the marrow out of it, to give it an opportunity, like putting something in a crock pot, right? You know, you put something in a crock pot, you turn it on, and then you leave it. It's like that. It allows that power to vivify is the only word that comes to mind. It adds life to that power. And so that's why the time between solstice and Christmas is so potent. It's so ripe for vivification because we understand what's happening. We understand that the true nature of the sun is always there. It just appears to be not. Just like in a womb or in a tomb, the power of consciousness and life is always there. We just can't see it. So does that clarify that for you?
Yeah, it does. I have a question. This year, isn't there a solar eclipse at the solstice this year, or is that a little later?
There's something going on around. I mean, there's been so many planetary and solar and lunar conjunctions, I just don't even keep track of them anymore. I'm just like, I can't keep up with it all. So if there is something going on with that, and when there are conjunctions with eclipses, where the moon, if it's a lunar eclipse, it cultivates a different level of consciousness. If it's a solar eclipse, it cultivates another level of consciousness, as levels of, so if it's a solar eclipse, where I'm trying to think if I got this correct, where the moon passes in front of the sun, that's a different energetic equation than a lunar eclipse where the earth passes in front of the moon. So it gets kind of complicated, and I'm not 1,000% sure of what that is, but if you do find what it is and you recognize it, be curious about it and go, okay, what is that eclipse? What's happening? Is it consciousness, which would be represented by the earth? Is that what's transiting? Is it the subconscious, which would be the moon passing in front of the sun? And just investigate, what is that story? What is the relationship in that moment between me and the sun? What's crossing in front of the sun at that moment? Or what is interfering with the light if it's a lunar eclipse, and that means that Earth is blocking the sun? And so be curious about what the relationship is at any given moment between the sun, the moon, and the Earth, and always inquire what is happening between these physical structures, moon, Earth, me, and the sun, and how can I interpret that? Right. That becomes the equation. So I don't honestly know what eclipse is coming up. But play with it. But play with it. It's at its root, it's always our relationship with the sun.
You mentioned I haven't even sent out a Christmas card this year. I thought that somehow my heart had shut down. Mm-hmm. And you know, I haven't done thing about and I'm always connected to Christmas. This for me, you know, from like Thanksgiving through like January 6th, you know, first week of January is really a very holy time, has been for decades. And I felt so disconnected until at one point today, all of a sudden things, I just felt connected. But I was perceiving things from a different level of reality where I felt like really calm. There wasn't, you know, hearts and flowers and jumping up and down, and there wasn't depression. And I was kind of seeing situations for what they were. Uh-huh. And there's been tremendous loss over the last couple of weeks. And you had said that this also can be a time of losing memory. So I just, I didn't know if you were having a similar experience or if that's kind of common right now. Or, you know, I used to love going or making things for people and, you know, all of that. And this year it's not, it's just wanting to be none of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I find that as my mystical and metaphysical practice grows and increases, that I find Christmas to be a very still time. I don't, you know, if somebody invites me to a party, I might go and spend, I went to a Christmas party this last Sunday, and I think I went with my girlfriend, and I think we stayed for about 2 minutes. We got there, we said hello to the host, who hadn't seen us in a long time, and then we kind of looked at each other and said, we just got here, are you ready to go? And it's like, yeah. Like, and so it, as this stuff starts to grow in you, you find that this time becomes very still. It becomes very poignant. It's not an external thing. It's not so much about giving cards or giving gifts or going out and partying and celebrating. It becomes this very profound inner adventure, inner sacredness, which actually invites a greater level of power, because you're not diverted by the 3D world. Now, that's not to say that if you feel inspired to go to a party or send a card, that that's, you know, to avoid doing that. But you'll find that something starts to shift, and and the stillness at the in the early stages of it, when that inner stillness starts to settle in, and this is also a part of your mystical development, is oftentimes when you settle into that foundation of peace. Sometimes people go, oh my God, am I depressed? Like, because I'm not, it's so still. And yeah. One of my regular mystics, her name is Sandy. She's from Mexico. She always talks about this profound stillness. And at first she's like, this feels weird to be this still. Like, am I doing this wrong? And over time that stillness becomes really rich. It becomes so ripe. That's the position of power. So if you're not feeling super juicy, inspired like you used to, that's okay. It's going to change, right? These are new. We talked about the Nazareth, the sprouts and the roots. This is a new structure. And so okay. Trust it. Is that?
Yeah, it was like a feeling. Yeah, it was like a feeling of just like nothingness.
Yeah, that's where you want to be. There's nothing wrong with that, okay. Because in the emptiness, that's where all the power is, in the stillness, in that expansiveness. The emptiness creates space. And when there's space, that's when spirit moves in and goes, let me move you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People think that this emptiness is there's a problem. But no. Mm-hmm. Again, spirit moves in direct proportion to how much room we give it. So if there's emptiness, if there's stillness, if there's peace, stable peace, then yeah. No, you're okay, babe. That's good. Good, good. Glad to hear it.
God bless. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, all of the replays and stuff will be posted on the inside of the classroom for you.
Thank you. Okay? God bless you.
Thanks, Christina. Sandy, speaking of Sandy, here she is. Sandy says, since I've learned with you at this season, I'm listening again to membership. Thank you for this divine call. It's incredible how the divine soul appears naturally. I bought food without thinking, then I gave it to an immigrant family on the street. I listened to their souls without word, and their smiles were so divine, and it felt so magnificent with so much light, like time had stopped. Before all of this, I was feeling the sensation of the quantum, and I just wanted to share it. The Christed meditation is always part of my practice from my heart. Thank you so much. You're welcome. Well, there's Sandy. This is who we were talking about. The one who finds power in the emptiness. And this is lovely. So you see how the Christ starts to come alive in us in ways that we're not thinking about. She went and bought food and then gave it to an immigrant family, right? That's not something that was contrived. That's not something that she said, I'm going to do my good deed of the day and I'm going to go do this. It just occurred. And when the Christed nature is alive and rooted and expanded within us, those sorts of things happen very spontaneously, the desire to give, the desire to be kind, the desire to be generous, but then also the gifts of the quantum, the gifts of the Christed mind coming to you as well in gifts of prosperity, gifts of your own well-being, Christina talking about feeling the sense of stillness. That's the gift of the quantum. That's the gift of the Christed mind. Peace shows up. This is why at the time of Christmas, people are saying peace on earth, goodwill towards men. The Christ in nature is peace. This is why when we do our metaphysical work, when we're doing any of our practice in our mysticism, we start with peace and power. We don't start with high vibration. We don't start with love. We don't start with bliss. We start with peace. Peace. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Jesus, the Christed one, was the Prince of Peace. He wasn't the Prince of Love. He wasn't the Prince of Bliss. He was the Prince of Peace. So the Christed nature is peace itself. And when that starts to run through your circuitry, that's when stuff starts to happen. So, all right, guys. Well, does anyone else have any more questions they want to type in? Because I appreciate all these questions and these comments. This is great. But so, again, take advantage of this time of year. Take advantage of what we've talked about today. And as you're out and about between now and Christmas, especially between those days of winter solstice, which I believe is on Saturday. And for those of you in Becoming Quantum, we'll be having having another quantum coaching call on Saturday. So just notice what you notice now that these awarenesses have been brought to fore. And look at the Christmas lights in a different way. Look at when you drive by a nativity scene, they out in front of city halls or in front of churches, they have the little nativities with the plastic baby Jesus and the manger and all that other stuff. And look at that a different way. If you have a desire or feel inspired to go to a service of any kind, whether it's Jewish or Christian or pagan or Wicca or whatever, be curious about what that offers you so that you can gather as much energy from it as possible. All right. Well, this is great fun, guys. I'm planning on starting a monthly metaphysics coaching call in the new year. I took a break from Modern Mystics membership where I was teaching pretty sophisticated classes twice a month, and it just got to be too much as I'm, working with the NASA show. But I am going to be doing a monthly metaphysics call like this once a month where we talk about different metaphysical things. You can come in and ask your questions and stuff like that. I'll be starting that in January. So stay tuned for that. If you enjoyed this, then that will be something that we will get to do monthly. It's always fun to be able to touch base with you guys if I'm not teaching a class. So you can stay tuned for that. But so for those of you who aren't in Becoming Quantum, I want to say thank you guys so much for being with me on the call today. I hope this served you well. Again, stay tuned. I'll be sending you the guided meditation. You'll get that within the next 24 hours. I hope it serves you well. And thank you for being a part of my community. Thank you for trusting me with this part of your journey. I wish you all a very, 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 very merry, merry, merry Christmas. And I hope that the true meaning and the true gifts of the season reveal themselves to you in ways that make every Christmas from this day forward something really fabulous and really empowering to your spiritual journey. So with that, I'm going to sign off and say Merry Christmas, Happy Solstice. Happy New Year. I hope you join me in the monthly calls next year. I send you all on your way, guys. Thank you so much for being with me. Take care.